This is the first time we're going to send humans to the moon, and we're going to have humans in low Earth orbit. That is awesome.
I was talking to someone very close to Elon Musk, and this is in the first Trump administration, and they said, no, they're really going to launch the Mars mission from the dark side of the moon, so it can't be looked at by a lot of our enemies, but also it's a better launch point, and also it's protecting the craft facilities from solar radiation. And they've already got 3D printers up there. They've already got a base up there with the secret space program. And that when Trump wins re-election, they're going to announce it and do it. You notice Musk suddenly said, now we're not launching from the Earth. We're launching from the dark side of the moon a month ago.
Exactly. Well, that's 6-7 years ahead. That's the kind of intel. This is part of the problem, which is we're getting the intel much, much later. And there's this gap in time. So we talk about things like the release of the UFO file. This is scheduled.
Eight brilliant minds, each one inching closer to unlocking zero-point energy, plasma fusion that could render fossil fuels obsolete, or the anti-gravity secrets allegedly reverse-engineered from crashed non-human craft, have met mysterious ends or vanished without a trace. Their deaths and disappearances clustering in recent months amid rising whispers of massive revelations.
I've been 100% serious. I've been briefed by just about every alphabet agency there is. And I'll just tell you this, if they would release the things that I've seen, you would stay up, you'd be up at night worrying about or thinking about this stuff. This country would have come unglued, I think, if they would have heard all that I heard. They would demand answers. And we need to. But, you know, it's never going to get, unfortunately, it just keeps getting covered up and covered up. And the people that know are dying or disappearing, as the case may be.
Wow.
And for the record, I'm not suicidal and I don't take risks.
This is why Congress is working hard for whistleblower protections, because we want people to feel safe to come out and have a conversation. And right now they don't feel overly safe. They've seen some of the tactics and techniques that were applied to try to keep people quiet in the past. Let me say this in general terms. People say, oh, well, the government would never kill anybody to protect a secret. Try going to Area 51 and look at the signs on that chain link fence where it says lethal force authorized. You cross that fence and they can kill you dead. Okay? So the government can, under certain extreme cases, under certain extreme situations and conditions, they can do whatever they need to do to protect national security, and they will.
But I was standing behind an alien in a spacecraft, just a small one. Could I ask you a question? And he said, okay. And I said, how do you get from here to Alpha Centauri? We can't do that. The only thing that we think about is I have to go really fast for a really long time. Can you use what information I have in my head and try to explain it to me? And he said, well, do you know what a Rubik's Cube is? And I said, oh yeah, my son can do them in 2 minutes. He says, okay, so imagine a Rubik's Cube, but not necessarily just the six sides. Just imagine the concept of a Rubik's Cube. And I said, okay. Now imagine on each one of the tiles on the Rubik's Cube has a chart of the elements. And he says, so what you do to get to Alpha Centauri is you just twist the cube. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I told you you wouldn't understand. And he said, when the periodic table occurs in a different place, you're at that place. And that's just a very crude explanation. But you have to stop thinking about go that way for a long time, very fast.
Describe the very first time you were teleported.
It was scary in a way. I mean, you don't really know, okay, is this evil? Is this good? What is this? What do I do with this? How do I deal with it? I was on the phone. Oh, my God, what's happening? And I was landed. And landed about 40 miles away in a ditch outside of a Baptist church in a little tiny town just where you cross over the border. And it was an incredibly frightening.
for as long as I've been an info warrior, 18 years. And Texan, born and raised, so I know, like, knives like you do. And I finally broke down and ordered one. I got the neon orange, and I'm blown away. I've had Benchmark knives that are easily $400. Had them for a year, lost them. This thing has the same feel, same quality, same, I mean, everything about it. I haven't had a knife stay this sharp in a long time, and I'm, like, horrible with equipment. I'm, like, very abusive with knives at work every day. I'm extremely impressed. I'm very impressed. So anybody out there listening, who knows if there's a knife comes back in stock, get one. You know, any of them. I want to get the ring knife when it comes back out. Other than that, I'll join all the supplements and,
Yeah, particularly the pocket knives, the folding knives, the flip knives are super high quality at incredibly low prices. I mean, these same knives sell in stores all day for like $80 or something for like $40. We'll be right back.
From the front lines of the information war, this is The War Room with Harrison Smith. Join the battle now on Band.video and X worldwide.
Welcome back, folks. We have a few updates. Iran's largest aluminum producer and petrochemical complex has been attacked, state media says. Airstrikes have targeted Iran's largest aluminum producer as well as largest petrochemical complex. Meanwhile, the attack on the aluminum plant in Arak resulted in a large fire. Pakistani foreign minister holds late-night calls with regional stakeholders. Just after 2 a.m. in Islamabad, Pakistan's foreign minister Ishaq Dar is up late calling regional stakeholders in a rush of diplomacy as U.S. President Donald Trump's 8 p.m. deadline approaches. Pakistani foreign ministry has issued two statements on calls between Dar and the foreign ministers of Egypt and Saudi Arabia about the evolving regional situation. Pakistan has served as mediator between the U.S. and Iran in recent weeks. In an earlier post on X, Pakistani Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif pleaded for a two-week ceasefire to allow diplomacy to achieve conclusive termination of the war. He's also asked Trump to extend his deadline by 2 weeks, proposing that Iran reopen the Strait of Hormuz during that two-week period. A regional source earlier told CNN that, quote, some good news is expected from both sides soon, adding that a deal is expected to be closed tonight. For his part, Trump told Fox News that Sharif is a respected man and would soon be fully briefed on the proposal, adding that negotiations are heated, but not elaborating further. Again, I don't know if sort of like everything that is said can be taken both ways, right? I mean, Trump had the deadline for 8 p.m. tonight. I think that's 2 hours from now. But now he says that, you know, there may be a two-week holdover. Now, that could be because Iran called his bluff and he didn't actually want to bomb a bunch of civilians back to the Stone Age. And so he's pretending to give it the two-week whatever. Like, that could be the play. Or he could be actually planning to carry out the bombing tonight. And all the talk about the two-week delay with the Pakistani prime minister could be totally fabricated. And there is some evidence that that may be the case. Basically, the aircraft that would deliver the... Oh, it's illegal. It's illegal to form a human chain around your infrastructure. They're not allowed to do that. They're not allowed to surround their own country's infrastructure to prevent it from being destroyed. They're not allowed to do that. That's a joke, right? Is that a real tweet? Is that a real report? That Donald Trump says they're not allowed to do that? That is just utterly pathetic. My God. It's just so embarrassing. Everything about this is so embarrassing. So this is from Sebastian Cruz, L. Cruz Seb on X. He says, important, this is not a drill. Read every word. B-52 and B-2 bombers are in the air heading towards Iran right now. Here's exactly what happens next, step by step. So he says, step one, B-52s take off from RAF Fairford, UK. That's already happened. That's confirmed. Step two, flight path through Gibraltar and the Mediterranean, France and Spain denied the overflight. That's also been confirmed to have happened. And they have refueled over the Mediterranean, aerial refueling. Now comes step four through 10, which bombers will reach Iranian airspace at approximately 8 p.m. tonight. JDAM gravity bombs dropped on pre-selected targets, missile factories, IRGC command nodes, underground facilities. B-2 stealth bombers hit hardened underground targets with 3,000-pound massive ordnance penetrators. Iran attempts retaliation, missiles towards U.S. assets in the Gulf and Israeli targets. Oil prices spike as Strait of Hormuz tensions escalate. Global markets react to expanded bombing campaign. Trump addresses the nation, frames it as the final phase. Steps 1 through 3 have already happened today. Steps 4 through 6 will happen within hours, and steps 7 through 10 by tomorrow morning. This is not 2003 Iraq. Iran has missiles that reach Tel Aviv. Iran has allies across the region. Iran has already shot down an F-15E. And again, so it's, again, we're sort of getting evidence for whatever you want to believe. You think that, you know, Trump is bluffing and that this will be delayed 2 weeks. There's evidence for you to believe that. If you believe that 2 week pause is distraction to lull Iran into a sense of security so that they, then it can be bombed, I think that's just as valid as well. I got no prediction one way or the other. I guess if I really had to predict, I'd say that Trump doesn't do anything tonight and there is a 2 week pause. But who knows? Who knows? Everything we're doing is utterly retarded, so it's impossible to guess. This is the madman theory at work, only it's an actual madman. Like I explained yesterday, part of the madman theory is that you're not actually crazy. Trump seems actually crazy, as evidenced by the actually insane things he does, like start a war with Iran. Then we can go to this video, clip number 11. This is J.D. Vance backing Trump up on his threat, and trying to justify it. It's completely insane. Let's watch.
We feel confident that we can get a response, whether it's positive or negative. We're going to get a response from the Iranians by 8 o'clock tonight. I hope they make the right response, because what we really want is we want a world where oil and gas is flowing freely, where people can afford to heat their homes and cool their homes, where people can afford to transport themselves to work. That's not going to happen if the Iranians are engaged in acts of economic terrorism. So they've got to know we've got tools in our toolkit that we so far haven't decided to use. The President of the United States can decide to use them, and he will decide to use them if the Iranians don't change their course of conduct.
Wow. Amazing. We have to open the Strait of Hormuz. After all, we have to open the Strait of Hormuz. I mean, it was open a month ago before we attacked, but now that's why we have to genocide all of Iran. Great. Good point. She's getting insane. I'm going to take your calls this hour. You can give us a call. We'll just go to your calls as they come in. 1-877-789-2539. 1-877-789-2539. 1-877-789-2539. Now, I've read this post before. I think it's worth visiting again because it's possibly the most accurate description of American life that has ever been put down. It's about humiliation. It's the humiliation post. Essentially, this is from TM at realtrouble_man. Nothing about the current political situation we are experiencing in the West will ever make sense to you unless you first understand that you live under foreign occupation and are thus subject to the rules of the occupiers. If you do not start from there, you will search for multiple explanations and rationalizations for your society's misery and shortcomings that will ultimately lead you nowhere. The thing is, your enemy has no interest in so-called victory over you because they already won a long time ago, before most of you were even born. Now, the entirety of their actions is aimed at a single goal: humiliation. Humiliation robs you of your humanity, your will, your reason to fight on. Humiliation takes everything from you, and it even robs you of being worthy of empathy. It has been used by every occupier in history. It is our natural primal understanding of defeat. The Ottoman practice of Cossack is a prime example. Similar to the concept of drag kids in modern America, Cossacks were a combination of dancers, clowns, and prostitutes. They were young non-Muslim boys taken from their parents and trained to be willful sexual objects and entertainers for the Ottoman Turks. The goal was to have the occupied think, if we allow that to be done to our boys, what else can they do? The answer is anything. It is full spectrum domination in the minds of the conquered. Your enemy doesn't want gay pride parades in the street, drag queens in your libraries, your son's penis mutilated and drip-fed estrogen from birth, your parents dead from opioids and cancer, your daughter race-mixing, your meat replaced with bugs, all while your media laughs at you because they think it's for everyone's benefit. It's for anyone's benefit. They want it because they know you don't want it, but can't stop them. They want to humiliate you. There isn't any other reason, and that's exactly why they're doing it. I can't help but agree. I mean, it's humiliation and the exploitation, after all. They need our money. They need our money to give to themselves and their friends and our enemies. So they need us working, and they need us paying those tax dollars so they can give them to our enemies for our replacement. And this is a really important thing to understand. Right now in Texas, and there was a map that went around recently. Honestly, I should have printed it. I didn't because it actually pisses me off too much. I didn't think I was going to address it today, but I realize now, like, it's kind of important actually that I point this out, because you have to understand that white people are not the majority anymore. We're the minority. White people are the minority in New York City. White people are the minority in Texas. Do you understand that white people are the only race of people that treat minorities well? Do you know this? Do you understand this? And that when white people are minorities, so what happens is when white people are majorities, there are a lot of calls for minority rights. And hey, just because you're the majority doesn't mean you get to control the minority. We have to speak up for the minority. It's so important that the majority not discriminate against or in other ways harm the minority. We need to uplift, celebrate, honor, and provide for the minority. And then when that minority becomes the majority, it becomes we're the majority. We get to do what we want because we're the majority, and we can't have minority rule. That's horrible. That's so wrong. I mean, that sounds like South Africa, a small number of white people ruling over a large number of non-white people. That's just horrible and wrong. The minority has to be suppressed, and the majority's desires are obviously going to come first. It's a very useful manipulation tactics. Because right now, again, white people are the minority in New York City. Doesn't it change the character a little bit of the press conference that we just saw when you understand that this is a group of people talking about exploiting and discriminating against the minority? That right now in Texas, I, as a white man, am in the absolute minority, meaning not just that we're less than 50%, we're less than the actual largest racial cohort, which is Hispanics. Can you point a single law that benefits white people because we're the minority? Every other law racially designed is because, well, they're the minority and they deserve to be protected. But when white people are the minority, we are not protected. We are exploited to an even greater degree because now they have the votes to make it a majority demographic appeal. And again, this is super important because right now you've got racial equity programs going into New York, which, call it what they want, it's literally just exploiting white people for the benefit of non-white people, taking white people's stuff and giving it to non-white people. It's just theft. Racialized theft. That's all it is. Do you think it's going to stay in New York, or do you think that's going to spread like wildfire? Or do you think every city in America will soon have something of the equivalent? Or you can go to things like Canada, where there is literally now, in their law, race-based sentencing. And we're actually on their law books. They say that white people deserve worse punishment than non-white people. So non-white people apparently don't have agency, can't control themselves. White people, of course, they're responsible for their crimes, not non-white people. They've been exploited. Yeah, I think we have to stand up for ourselves. Iran's call for human shields around power plant, totally illegal, Trump says. In a brief phone call with NBC News, Trump declined to provide any update to the status of negotiations with the Iranians, but he sharply criticized Iran's call for young people to line up as human shields around the power plants. Totally illegal, he said. They're not allowed to do that. And I can't see calls, so we'll, I mean, we can just go down the list of whoever got in first. But yeah, Channel 13 has set a countdown clock for Trump's deadline. They're like eagerly awaiting it. They're like so excited for this. Because the whole society is evil, y'all. It's like not that complicated. So this is something interesting. Kanye West was invited to perform in the UK at a, it was called a wireless festival, but then it was canceled. It was canceled, unfortunately, because of his obvious, you know, anti-Semitism. Because, you know, he said, if you speak up against the Jews, then they'll like try to ruin your life or you know, stop you from getting contracts or kick you off festivals. So, you know, obviously he was so wrong about that, that they kicked him off the festival to prove how wrong he was. And people are asking questions about this. They're a little confused about what exactly our priorities are here. Because at the very same time, on the very same day that they are, that they have banned Ye from performing in the UK, the ISIS head-chopping leader of Syria is being honored there with like a state dinner. Okay, Ben Graham at from the UK. I'm genuinely struggling to understand this. Ye is banned from the UK for saying offensive things. Meanwhile, a former ISIS terrorist, Ahmed al-Shara, was shaking hands with Keir Starmer and King Charles last week. One said mean things, the other chopped heads off. This does not make sense. Of course it makes sense. One said mean things about Jewish people, the other one serves Jewish people. Am I wrong? One is the Israeli puppet who's currently presiding over pogroms of Alawites and Christians and Druze. One is a literal warlord, but he serves Israel. Kanye West. I was going to say said mean things about, but he didn't even really say mean things. He actually didn't even say mean things. He literally just said, I'm going to go DEF CON. That's what he said. And that's what all this is about. So it's, if you're confused by this, you need to recalibrate. You need to really understand what the priorities are of our ruling class. And of course, the president of the Board of Deputies of British Jews released a statement responding to Ye's ban, saying, quote, we hope that lessons are learned across the industry. We're learning lessons, all right. That's for sure. We're learning very important lessons. All right, with that, we got to your calls. Bart in Georgia, you're on the air first, on line one. Go ahead, Bart. Let's put Bart on the air, guys. Hold on, Bart. Taking a second to get you on. There you are. Go ahead, Bart. You're on the
air. Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. A couple of years ago, this statement would have sounded crazy, but I'm starting to think that Trump has been murdered and cloned, just like the Clintons. They're obviously clones. Just look at them. I'm not trying to be funny here. What the hell is wrong with Trump? Because I want to talk about the financial cost of this war. Let's put aside our emotions and our morality. Let's look at how much money this is costing us. Just this war and the others, we could have bought every single American a house, the swimming pool in the backyard, and I haven't gotten one dime back from the government as far as this rebate. So what the, this has got to be stopped. Thank you for taking my call.
I completely agree. Couldn't agree with you more. And again, the cost, the money cost is like the smallest thing in reality. But of course, what the money represents is, like you point out, we could all have anything we wanted. Literally, we were the richest country in the history of the world. We could just kept everybody out, kept our own money, and been vacationing on the moon by now. We chose another route. And we're still choosing it to this day. Thank you for the call, Bart. Let's go to Michael in Ohio now. We're just going right down the line as in the order the calls were received. Michael, you are on the air.
Hey, Harrison. How we doing, man?
I'm all right. How are you?
I am living the nightmare, you know. I don't know that Trump's been murdered and cloned, but I honestly am beginning to think Trump just was an Obama in disguise the whole time. I feel like they've been consecutively trying with these administrations to give us a false promise and what we want and get our hopium up to the levels to where when they pull the rug out, they get the total chaos they've been going for in this country forever. And, you know, like, can't think of his name. I haven't seen him on Alex's show in a while, but the gentleman from New York, he's always fired up and he has the financial reports and stuff. But
sure, Gerald Celente. You know,
yeah, Celente, thank you, yes. And like he said, you know, when all else fails, take us to war. And yep. And I feel like, you know, Trump is in on it because the financial gains his family has made and the investments they've made, he's an old man. He knows, I'm sure, he's not going to be around much longer, but he is securing multi-generational wealth for his family. And, you know, I feel like I have a solution, but it's going to take at least a couple few, you know, couple election cycles, I would say. But we really need to flood the elections with independents. We know that the Republican Party and the Democrat Party is corrupt to its core, to where you won't get an endorsement if you're actually a good candidate. I mean, I'm here in Ohio, and Trump endorses Vivek Ramaswamy, a guy that, you know, an anchor baby. I mean,
all of his endorsements are terrible. I mean, and that, again, I think I ranted about this yesterday, or maybe it was last Friday, but Trump had an opportunity in 2016 to lead the Republican Party in a different direction. He could have strategically used, you know, the midterms and elections after that, chosen people who weren't rhinos and endorsed them, and he could have remade the Republican Party in his own image. He surrendered to the neocons. He has given everything over to the neocons. He could have very easily gone to Lindsey Graham and said, Lindsey Graham, you better bend the knee and start doing what I want you to do, or I'm endorsing your opponent and you're gone. That would not have been a difficult thing for him to do. He had all of the political capital to do it. He instead handed us over to the neocons and joined them. It's the worst. It's really worse than anything else. Thanks for the call, Michael. Let's go to Sean in California now. Sean, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Harrison. Am I loud and clear for you today?
I hear you loud and clear. Go ahead.
Great. So how deep do you want to get on, into my agreement with you and or disagreement with you?
Tell me what you disagree with me on.
Well, I think there's a lot of options for We the People, because We the People, it's supposed to be a bottom-up ran government, not a top-down ran government. And We the People, we're hoping Trump could save us. Trump was never supposed to save us. Trump, like Alex said, was that gulp of air before we get pulled back into the water of all this mess the globalists have been working on. So we actually have to push, you know, push back. I've been calling each of your shows today, get that message out there. If one person who thinks he's going to bug out to the hills could come back and either put that phone call in or start a general assembly or start a common law grand jury per the Seventh Amendment, which is higher than the Supreme Court, you would be able to change so many things locally that the ripples would trickle down to our servants in Washington, D.C., rather than having to wait for anything of theirs to bubble up. Because it's not just the cream that floats to the top of the toilet bowl, if you know what I mean. And yeah. D.C. is always at the toilet bowl. So in that wise, Harrison, you know, don't get blackpilled, bro. I got people I'm meeting with today, and trust me, they're trying to burn Riverside County off the map. We got several fires that have popped off out here because after they did L.A., the next plan is to remove most of Riverside.
And things are being destroyed all over the country. Thanks for the call, Sean. Great call. We'll be right back, folks. We got to go to commercial break.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it. I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62, that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate-level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these Embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN Zone website. They admit it. Over 2 million people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this out, sort of put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on this since 2004. But I got blown up in Iraq. I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue. And I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue. With this water, I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theelvishowstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theelvishowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, theelvishowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells. The methylene blue and iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
From our last caller, he had one more point to make before we got cut off by the commercial break. Basically saying he thinks there should be a constitutional amendment so you have to be a fifth-generation American to have any position in our government. I think that is a very good idea. I think that's a great idea. Fifth, fourth, something like that. And who wouldn't agree to that? If you are mad about that, you're a bad person, right? Like, to go to somebody else's country and then want to immediately demand a leadership position there, you can go home. You can go home. We want people who are going to come to America, live in America, be absorbed into America, and maybe down the line, they can dream of their grandchildren running for office. Why do we let foreigners come here and then rule over us? This is ridiculous. It shouldn't happen, but it does. When we got to your phone calls here momentarily, there's one more story that I've got to cover today. It is a study from Finland. So a study from Finland has tracked every gender-referred adolescent in the country for up to 25 years. This is not a small study. This was a study of an entire nation and every single adolescent that was referred to gender care of one sort or another. The landmark peer-reviewed study just dropped. Here's what it found. The study, published this week in Acta Pediatrica, which is led by Professor Kaltiala of Tampere University Hospital, She ran Finland's youth gender clinic since 2011. She served on the UK's caste review advisory board. Finland centralizes all gender identity assignments to two university hospitals. Because health registry reporting is mandatory and patients cannot opt out, the data set captured is the complete fate of every gender-referred adolescent in the country from 1996 to 2019. A cohort of 2,083 individuals was compared against 16,643 matched population controls. The follow-up ran for up to 25 years. This is not a small study with convenient dropouts. It is the full national picture. So what did they find? Among those who underwent medical, quote, gender reassignment surgery, the increase in suicidality was stark, or from psychiatric morbidity. Feminizing procedures, psychiatric morbidity rose from 9.8% to 60.7%. Masculizing procedures from 21% to 54.5%. The procedures did not resolve the distress. They made it significantly worse. After adjusting for prior psychiatric history, all gender-referred adolescents, whether or not they'd undergone procedures, faced similar levels of elevated ongoing risk, approximately five times higher than male controls, three times higher than female controls. The authors noted plainly, in some individuals, the medical procedures appeared to be linked to deterioration of mental health. This is a peer-reviewed journal. This is the lead clinician of Finland's National Gender Clinic. These are her words. The study also found that those referred after 2010, when Finland saw a tenfold referral surge, arrived with a far greater pre-existing psychiatric needs. 47.9% had already required specialist psychiatric treatment before their first clinic contact. Among matched controls in the same period, that figure was 15.3%. What that means to me is that these were just adolescents with mental problems, and then around 2010, the instruction came down to push gender identity as a possible, you know, thing to label these people with, and so suddenly you had a tenfold time referral rate to the gender clinic. It's not natural. This was orchestrated, deliberate. The author suggests this pattern may indicate that for some adolescents, mental health difficulties are presenting as concerns about gender identity, not the reverse. The study's conclusions could not be clearer. Psychiatric needs do not subside after medical gender surgery. This is the finding the gender medicine movement has staked its entire ethical claim on. The claim has not held. In Australia, two clinicians who raised this exact concern face regulatory action. So not only is gender identity, gender confusion, transgenderism a creation of the media class who pushed it on children through the media and through medical institutions, but when you actually wanted to point to the actual scientific outcome of these procedures, you'd be censored by the official establishment medical boards. Dr. Andrew Amos was banned by AHPRA for questioning the treatments publicly. No finding of patient harm was made against him. Other people were suspended as well. The Finnish study adds to the evidence base both clinicians drew on when they spoke up. The UK's caste review, a four-year NHS commissioned inquiry, found the evidence base for puberty-suppressing drugs and cross-sex hormones in minors was, quote, remarkably weak. The best way you can put it. But yeah, that really tells you everything you need to know. That the gender-affirming care, the life-saving care that's often promoted, the reality is you say you got a kid who's depressed, he might have a 10% likelihood of trying to commit suicide. Give him gender reassignment surgery, the likelihood goes up to 60%. 10% to 60%. 10% chance of suicidality, morbid thoughts before the surgery, 60% after. And this is what the American medical industry is pushing on your children, in some cases, in as little as one 30-minute visit. They will then refer kids to the hormone-suppressing, puberty-blocking, or surgical intervention. That's deliberate evil. destroying children. And we've been telling you this for years. Now we have the entire country of Finland for 25 years being studied as a scientific control group, showing incontrovertibly with absolute proof, so-called gender reassignment surgery accelerates psychiatric conditions by 5 times in boys and 3 times in girls. We told you so. That's all I have to say about that. We told you so. And literally anybody pushing this needs to be charged with child endangerment, child abuse. Looks like we have a new truth post from Trump. Based on conversations with Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif and Field Marshal Asim Munir of Pakistan, and wherein they requested that I hold off the destructive force being sent tonight to Tehran and subject to the Islamic Republic of Iran agreeing to the complete, immediate, and safe opening of the Strait of Hormuz, I agree to suspend the bombing and attack of Iran for a period of 2 weeks. This will be a double-sided ceasefire. The reason for doing so is that we have already met and exceeded all military objectives and are very far along with the definitive agreement concerning long-term peace with Iran and peace with the Middle East. We received a 10-point proposal from Iran and believe it is a workable basis on which to negotiate. Almost all the various points of past contention have been agreed to between the United States and Iran, but a 2-week period will allow the agreement to be finalized and consummated. Okay. On behalf of the United States of America, as president and also representing the countries of the Middle East, it is an honor to have this long-term problem close to resolution. Thank you for your attention in this matter. So he chickened out. That's what you're telling me. Chickened out. You'll notice he didn't actually talk to Iran. He didn't actually get an agreement with Iran. The threat of bombing Iran doesn't seem to have been the thing that Iran was responding to. Sounds like Trump is seizing on this suggestion by Pakistan to make it look like he got concessions when really this is a third-party state. Pakistan is not actually in the combat that he's predicating this on. So, kind of exactly what I said at the beginning of the show. Kind of exactly what I guessed would happen at the beginning of the show. So, the question is, did he actually say the Strait of Hormuz is opening? Because he said, subject to the Islamic Republic of Iran agreeing to a complete, immediate, and safe opening of the Strait of Hormuz. So they have not agreed to that yet. So the threat was, open the Strait of Hormuz or we bomb you. Now we're not bombing them, but they're not opening the Strait of Hormuz. So it was a bluff. So we have at least 2 weeks of war to do so. They say they received a 10-point plan from Iran. God only knows what that is supposed to mean. When did that happen? Because you're not in conversation with Iran. So, okay, good. Sounds like he's not committing genocide. Hooray. Huzzah. Can we arrest him now? Can we get rid of him now? Can we get rid of him and Israel now? Like, what do we need to do next? What's next? Because are we just waiting for him to make another insane threat like he'll do tomorrow or whatever? And by the way, it really does look like they were about to nuke Iran because, as I just laid out the timeline there, yeah, Israel may hit him. That's true. The crew just said. As I laid out the timeline earlier where you've got these B-2, B-52 bombers, these are the things that would carry nuclear armaments. And we already have a lot there, but these were specifically coming for this mission. And we showed you that they were going to arrive around 8 p.m. tonight. And you can actually see in the flight path of the planes, they do a U-turn right in the middle of the Mediterranean and head back to the UK. So it appears as though we actually had like nuclear bombers en route to Iran when we told them to turn around. A deal is expected to be closed between the U.S. and Iran tonight, per CNN. Details include a regional source has informed CNN that some good news is expected from both sides. Discussions are being steered directly by Pakistan's Army Chief Field Marshal Asim Munir. The White House said Trump has been made aware of Pakistan's proposed ceasefire and that a response will come. Oil prices are falling on the news. We expect more details shortly. So, yeah, does not sound like there's a ceasefire. I don't know. People are saying there's a ceasefire. That's not what I heard Trump say. I didn't hear Trump say that. Did he say that? No, he said he talked to Pakistan, and they requested that he hold off the destructive force and agree to the suspending the bombing and attack of Iran for a period of 2 weeks. This will be a double-sided ceasefire. The reason for doing so, we've already met and exceeded all of our military objectives and are very far along in are very far along with a definitive agreement concerning long-term peace with Iran and peace in the Middle East. It doesn't sound like a ceasefire to me. I don't know. Does this sound like a ceasefire to anybody else? Why are people saying this is a ceasefire? If they open the strait, then they'll ceasefire. But he's not talking to Iran directly. So, yeah, I don't really believe this, I guess. I think they called his bluff. And so he's decided not to do it. I think maybe the human chains worked. He seemed pretty mad about that, how that would have looked. So we'll see. We'll see about this. It's also hilarious, the people who have been pro-Iran war this whole time, who have been wrong the entire time. The entire time they've been absolutely, abjectly wrong about all of this. And now they're just like, see, we told you there'd be a ceasefire today. Like, first of all, this is not a ceasefire. Like, what are you talking about? Iran is not in conversations with Trump. You cannot have a one-sided ceasefire. This is just ridiculous. But even if there is a ceasefire, does that undo everything that's happened so far? No, it doesn't, does it? No, we're still going to experience the destructive shortage of fuel and fertilizer and everything for the next little while. This is not over. Not by a long shot. Not by a long shot. Iran is still going to go. They are not going to be stopping anytime soon. I just don't believe that. Flat out. So there you go. That's my immediate response. Let's go out to the calls. Let's go to Michael in New Mexico. Go ahead, Michael. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. And with what you're saying, how many times did Israel supposedly have a ceasefire in Gaza? And my question to you, but like just to set it up, is everything that InfoWars has been fighting for years against the Great Reset, I feel the Democrats were like edging us toward that by a death by a thousand cuts. And now what Trump is doing, unless it stops, but what about the damage already done? It seems like by a quick avalanche could usher in the Great Reset. With everything happening to the energy infrastructure, Rex Jones was actually interviewing Cardone's brother, and he even said that we may never go back to like the previous energy like infrastructure. And so my question to you is there a quicker way to usher in the Great Reset than what Trump is doing?
Not really, no.
With the 15-minute city.
No, but I've been saying for years, like ever since the Ukraine war started, it's like the best way for them to implement their plans is through World War III. Everything they want accelerates under World War III, from censorship to reorganization of economies. I mean, the budgets they need, war accelerates all of it. It gives them everything that they want. So no, everything Trump is doing is 100% directly in favor of the Great Reset. He is the one who set up the data center deals. He is the one that is signing all these deals with Palantir to take over the government control. He's the one that created the Board of Peace that now will supposedly replace the UN. I mean, no, the global government is exactly what Donald Trump is doing everything he can to implement as we speak. So, yeah, that's the disappointing part, I guess you could say. Thanks for the call, Michael. Let's go to Godzilla in Wisconsin. You're on the air, and I know what you're going to talk about here, but why don't you go ahead and explain it to us?
Yeah, I was wondering if you heard about that Nikola Tesla tech they just released, being true, the CIA's ghost murmur, where they were able to detect a heartbeat of weapons officer, pilot assistant who they were searching for over the weekend, saying that they can detect the electronic magnetic signature of a heartbeat. I thought it was pretty amazing technology and stuff. I've called in before about using long-range quantum magnetometry.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mouthful.
Yeah, there could be. I mean, it could be the case. It could be a lie. I mean, basically what they're saying is that there's this tool called Ghost Murmur, and they use AI and long-range quantum magnetometry to basically find what they call the electromagnetic fingerprint of a human heartbeat, pairing the data with artificial intelligence software to isolate the signature from background noise. Two sources close to the breakthrough said. I kind of have trouble believing that. I know they have technology to, like, you know, they can hear your heartbeat with lasers and then sort of track you through your heartbeat. Like, it's an alternative to facial recognition. And there's all sorts of stuff that they can identify you through, you know, your gait, your walk. I mean, I don't understand how, like, heart murmur would be a better thing to detect. Like, if you're scanning a large area looking for a human being, how is the sound of their heart the thing that you're looking for? I have trouble believing that that would even be, like, an applicable, you know, technology to use here. Maybe it is. Maybe they do have this incredible technology that can find a heartbeat of a human and identify it, you know, over a long distance. I don't know how that would be better than using heat signature of a body, or obviously these guys have all sorts of, you know, different types of beacons on them of one sort or another. I mean, they have, you know, scanning and identifying technology that's very robust. Like, if you pull out a $100 bill, you can see on it this kind of, like, RFID, you know, like your credit card can be scanned electronically. It doesn't have any power on it, right? It just has a code that electronic scanners can detect. So, like, if you're carrying around a box full of $100 bills, the police have technology. They can scan your car and see that you have a box of $100 bills because it can read the RFID signature of every bill in there. I don't understand how you wouldn't have something like that on dog tags, right? So, I don't know. The technology may be real, or it may be, you know, another layer of lie about the whole rescue mission in the first place, because I don't believe it was a rescue mission at all. So I see a lot of reasons to disbelieve that, but I also know that that type of technology is possible. I just don't know if this would be the best application for it, but that's just my, I don't know, interpretation of what we've seen so far. So yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of RFID technology and scanning technology and heat signature and everything. I don't think you would need to try to find somebody's heartbeat, but maybe that's what they're doing. Who knows? Let's go to Musa in Detroit. Musa, thanks for calling in. I think you agree with me about Iran. Do you think Iran has agreed to a ceasefire, Musa?
No. Iran, they cannot back down. They're going to Iran. The button has been pushed. You know, the genie is out the bottle, so to speak. And that RFD chip, they've just been chipping the pilot. He just had a chip in him. They can find dogs and cats.
Right, there you go. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, they probably just injected a chip in him. You scan for that. Easy.
Yeah, very simple. And what's going on in our country about, you know, Texas and the foreigners taking over, it's a crying shame. That's all I can say. You know, it does not make any sense other than it's the plan.
Yep.
And so it makes sense to those who want to implement what they're doing. And Gerald Celente was one guy asked about when all else fails, they go to war. And yes, Trump is he's backed down because the so many forces were working against him. But Israel is still carpet bombing and bombing Lebanon and everything. So, yeah, we got to get rid of Israel. I agree with you, Harrison. I love the way you present yourself and the topics. Man, you're just on the money. And you can't help but be on the money. You're with the man who's right all the time.
That's
Mr.
Right.
Alex Jones. So thank you for taking my call, and I appreciate you guys. And I just look forward to gaining more information and knowledge from you guys. So in the meantime, check me out if you can. I'll get back with some numbers so you can check me out sometime. All right.
All right. You got a X account or something I can follow?
Well, I got an X account and I got a Rumble. Control your role, Rumble.
Control
your role.
All right. Well, so, thank you very much.
Check out, and I'll get in touch with you on your X account. You're welcome. Bye bye.
Please do. Yeah. Thank you for that. That was a great call. And yeah, look, I, you know, I wish this wasn't the case, and I really do approach this stuff free of bias. I can do that. I have the ability to go, I want this, but is that the best thing? Is that the right thing? Is this not just my, you know, do I not just want this for my own benefit, or is this actually the best thing to do? And when you look at things in just an unbiased 30,000 foot view, you got to come to these conclusions. There's really no other conclusion to come to. I wish it wasn't the case. And I've had people tell me, even like my family was in town over the weekend. They're like, it seems like your Twitter account's kind of changed tenor, changed like attitude. And it's like, well, the Iran war started. So yeah, things are kind of bad. You know, it's like, it's what would you expect? All right. You put on a raincoat when it's raining outside. We go to war with Iran for no particular purpose for the sake of Israel, and the whole world is teetering on the brink of absolute destruction. Yeah, it kind of sucks. It's kind of bad news, and you got to deliver the bad news. But, like, what else are you going to do? Ignore it? Pretend it's not happening? It's happening. We got to confront it and deal with it. Not lie about it. That's all I try to do. Let's go quickly to Steve in Nevada. We only have about 30 seconds, Steve, but you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, what's happening, Harrison?
How are
you? I'll tell you what. If you want to go, if you want to really just take it back in a, you know, back to where it starts, okay, you can go back to JFK. You know why JFK got killed, and so do I.
Yep.
He did not want Israel to have a nuclear weapon. Now they never signed a non-proliferation agreement. They, all these years, they've been illegally keeping a nuclear weapon. How come nobody's making a big deal out of this? You're going to tell me that you don't think that Israel's behind this whole thing? And I'm not being anti-Semitic, but they've had our country under their grip for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And they're following their Jewish prophecy. Donald Trump walked us right into the New World Order. And all
that is certainly how it feels. I'm sorry, we got to end the show here, but I think you're right. I think you're exactly right.
In a world where globalists, depopulationists, principalities, and powers of the air have been adding, spraying, and inundating humans with heavy metals, chemicals, and toxins, TheAlexJonesStore.com would like to introduce a new way to remove them from your body from the inside out. Introducing Zeolite. Zeolites are a group of crystal-like porous minerals that are found where molten stone meets water. From the Greek zeo, to boil, and lithos, or light, meaning stone, this unique network of tiny little holes and channels found in zeolite absorb and remove harmful substances like heavy metals, chemicals, and other toxins. So don't delay. Start the process of removing unwanted toxins from your body and put some skin in the game of the info war today by going to TheAlexJonesStore.com and picking up a bottle of Zeolite.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.